Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. This week, I'm so excited because I have not one, but two amazing guests. I have Katie Visser and Leah Friars on to talk about being a nanny and an artiste at the same time.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome, Katie and Leah.
Hello. Hi.
It's so nice to have y'all here.
It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to be here.
Okay. So before we get started talking about balancing nanny life and artist life, I would love to hear actually like kind of quickly, but both of y'all's journeys, both as nannies and artists. So that's going to be a lot. So, you know, Spark Notes version, but I just want to hear like that journey. Katie, how about you? You head us up here.
Sure. Okay. So in the beginning, I'll just go backwards. I'm currently in Los Angeles. I work full-time as an assistant at a production company for TV. And I, before that, worked on set for a particular show for a bit. Before moving to LA, I was in Chicago doing sketch comedy, stand-up, all of that good stuff for 3 years, before this. And so I've always kind of been on a writing track. The performing side kind of came a little bit later. I got my master's, right after college. I went right into my master's program in creative writing, in Milwaukee, and was also a copywriter during that time. So I've written in like all different industries over the years. And, the nannying, actually came into play when I started doing theater, right around the same time. When I moved to Chicago for, Second City's writing program, I, started nannying actually right after I moved to Chicago. It was my sister's idea. She takes credit for it to this day. she very much takes credit for the fact that she was like, you know, I'm also the oldest of six children. I've been babysitting my entire life. And for, you know, my siblings, my cousins, for everyone, just like, you can put a baby in my arms at any point and I will not even notice. And I'll just carry on with my day and be fine. And she was like, what about nannying? And then I actually used, I used care.com to find nannying families. I've ever since then always found my nannying families on care.com. It's been great. Wow. I don't know if we're allowed like to plug things, but
you're like the one success story I've ever
heard. Are they a sponsor?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they're not. Yes.
Can they sponsor us?
Yeah, sponsor us, Care.
But it was I had never ever thought about nannying full time before. I had always babysat like through every stage of my life, but I had never thought about it until she was like, well, you could, you know, do that as a day job while you're in theater classes and like, you know, doing sketch shows and stuff like that. And it's really worked out well. So I have nannied for families in Chicago and Los Angeles. Mm. I think that's kind of everything.
Maybe. That was a good Spark Notes version.
Thank you, Katie. And Leah.
Yes. So I'll work backwards too. I have also been in LA for almost 4 years now. Currently, I work as a video editor for a comedy streaming service. And I have done a little bit of nannying in LA, or babysitting. It's kind of a little bit of both. And through Katie, knowing actually families that she nannied for. Before that, I was in Chicago for 5 years and I was a full-time nanny. I was also working with my sketch group called Pure and Weary. So it's me and another woman, Catherine Biskupic. And we were doing sketch comedy together basically the whole time we've been in Chicago. I studied at Second City, The Annoyance, a little bit at IO. And before that, like fresh out of college, like Katie, I was always a babysitter growing up. And then fresh out of college, I needed work. So I became, my mom's a midwife actually. So she has a lot of connections to children. And I became a nanny through one of her former clients and was with a family who moved to Atlanta for a little bit. So I like went with them, lived down there for a little bit, decided I wanted to do comedy, moved to Chicago, needed work and was like, well, this is what I know how to do. So I became a full-time nanny, was there for 5 years, I think I said, two different families. The first one I actually also found on care.com, but the next one was through a family that I knew. So yeah, that's pretty much my story.
Well done. And I will also add that Leah and I met doing a play called Playboy of the Western World.
That's right.
That was where we originally met. And then we became a nanny squad.
That's right.
Or you allowed me to join your.
We need it all. You need all the help you can get. It's always the text in the morning. What are we doing today?
Yes. Where are we going? What are we doing?
That's right.
I love it. Meet you at Pickles.
Yeah.
Great. R.I.P. Pickles.
Oh,
did you not know?
I didn't think I knew that.
Oh, no. Pickles Playroom closed. So there was this place called Pickles Playroom in Chicago, and Leah and I would meet up there frequently.
It was so great. A play cafe that also did haircuts.
Yes. They did so many things. I forgot. They also had like music classes there and like,
yeah, they did. And movie nights. I remember. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a cool place. That's sad.
And they would like, sometimes they would theme the music, which was really fun too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depended on who was working.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a little bit of background on, and then I met Katie through Leah. We met at the Nature Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ran into each other
in our nanny day.
And recognized each other through theater.
That is kind of a fun, I think that's maybe a fun detail to mention, that the way Leah and I know each other is that we had all of our nannying kids at the Nature Museum and I noticed her from across the room and I was like, I swear I know that girl from theater. And we had so many mutual people in common, had never done shows together, but had been doing shows at the same theaters
around each other.
And I find it very ironic that the way we actually met was with our nannying children.
And then Katie museum. Moved out just like a couple months before Catherine and I did.
Yep.
And that's, yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, I know someone who's living out there that we should just like hook up with. And
yes,
this is now we're a squad.
Yes. We've got a LA squad. Yes.
Yes. And to have someone to support you in both nanny life and artist life is so important and hard to find.
Oh, so hard. I mean, we actually do babysit for the same kids sometimes. And, you know, we'll be with our group of friends and we'll just have a side conversation for like 45 minutes about these children. Everyone's like, are they done? And we're like, no, but you know what I'm talking about.
We have gotten feedback that at times that we can be done talking about
that's
the
enough.
Children now. Yeah. And we'll be like, we will definitely be out with friends and one of us has just babysat for these children and we will get to, you know, dinner or whatever, or party and be like, okay, so she was doing this or that or whatever. And just like recap the day.
Cause I want to know. She wants to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So I, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this episode is because I got an email about it. And I have gotten permission to read this email. And so I want to read the email that, or the part that is about this, so that we know what we're talking about, like the reason that we're recording this. So Julie says, so I have grown to love my job. I enjoy reading the Nanny magazine and staying up to date with your episodes so I can progress more in my career. I'm also planning on taking an actual nanny course, and I am super excited. However, I have this other side of me that is ultra creative, rebellious, weird, and limit pushing. I grew up as a dancer and a performer, and that part of me just can't seem to go away. I play guitar and sing and write songs, and I want to pursue a career in music. I want to be in a band, create music videos with dancers, and send and express so much love into the world in hopes of saving others through connection, which is more important now than ever. This is Martha talking, not the email. Back to the email. However, I have this old naggy Nancy voice that says that I can't do both. I feel nervous that if I focus on music, then I won't have time to progress as a nanny and vice versa. Do you think I can do both? I mean, obviously I have to see where the wind blows, and perhaps when I pursue music and it goes pretty far, I could just nanny less and then come back to it and vice versa. But for some reason I have trouble with the thought, and it's hard for me to take the steps needed to pursue all my dreams. I guess I just feel odd because I am having trouble relating with anyone else in the nanny industry with this inner dilemma. Do you have any thoughts, suggestions, or tips in your nanny teacher tool belt? And so my thought immediately was like, well, I know two people that are currently doing this balance really, really well. Because I feel like, so I did it for a while, right? Like I did the artist life. I was doing plays. I was doing Second City. Leah and I were also in a sketch group together called Robot and Inventor, putting on shows, all of that. And then I moved away from it because my creativity had room in nannying. It had enough space. And actually this podcast was a big part of that, that putting out this podcast is a creative outlet for me, and it fills my cup in that way.
Yeah.
And then I also went back to school, and so that kind of rolled out like plays. And I get to, so there's this type of therapy that I'm really drawn to called experiential therapy, that I get to use a lot of those creative skills from my my theater background as well. But I'm curious about your all's thoughts. Leah, let's hear a little bit about how you can balance the two and that stuff.
Well, I think interesting that you said that you kind of feel that creative outlet through nannying, because I totally felt that as well. Yep. That it was kind of an extension of creativity. I mean, I was doing sketch. It's obviously very different. Our sketch wasn't as kid friendly and appropriate. But was able to take some of that because I wasn't, you know, I didn't get a master's. I didn't, you know, but I studied theater. And so I know how to play those games. And what's great is that kids love to play those games. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of playing with the kids that I would nanny. And I think I was also an influence in some way for them. Like some of the kids that I nannied actually started to take theater classes or would want to, you know, we'd have afternoons where we put on our own shows. Mm-hmm. Or I knew how to film and edit. So some older kids that I would babysit and nanny for would want to make their own movies. So we like, and that's something that they have to take with them later on, even if they don't ever end up doing theater or film or TV or anything with that, they have those experiences and those memories and the physical movies that they made, which is super fun, I think, to look back on those. But I think that that helped in a way. And also, Catherine and I were very lucky in that one of the families that I worked for were so supportive of what we were doing, and they would come see our shows and everything. But also, we were able to use one of the kids in a lot of our sketch videos, which was very fun. And it was fun for them to see one of their kids. And again, like, they have these physical memories of their kid being in these sketches that were appropriate. They were fine. It was okay for them to be in it. We definitely got all the permissions and everything. Yeah, but it was really fun. So I definitely think it was also an extension of what I was doing, and luckily was able to do both and didn't feel burnt out by it. It was kind of more inspiring. It was an inspiration. I got material from doing these things. And I think Katie will be able to talk on that too, because of what you want to do. I'll let you talk about that. But yeah, I think it was fun, and it was,
you can tie the two together.
Absolutely.
Really, in a really lovely way. And I also think that all three of our experiences shows that there is kind of this nice thing about often nannying is during the day. The hours that they need you are during the day. And often your life as an artist is at night. And although exhausting, that works out well.
You're tired all the time, but the hours are perfectly suited. I was going to say when we first talked about having this conversation today, my first thought in answer to the question, like, are the two compatible? I was like, they're extremely compatible, because just from a pure hour standpoint, how I've always done it is to nanny Monday through Friday during the day, and to have rehearsals and at night, shows on the weekend, whatever you can. I feel like schedule wise, they're a really nice balance usually.
Yeah. And when I first moved to Chicago too, and found out that a bunch of artists were working in the service industry, I did not understand how they were making that work. But you make the most money on nights and weekends, but that's when you have shows. So how are you doing all of that? And nannying was just perfect. It wasn't a day job. You weren't sitting behind a desk. You still get to be creative. You're, you know,
and you're using a different part of your brain. I think you can, like, I felt like if I was writing and rehearsing and producing all of it, all of the creative stuff, it often, and actually now that I've been, now that I'm not nannying full time, and I just see my previous nanny family, I will watch their kids for them on like a Saturday, you know, randomly. And Leah does too, for the same family. And when we're there now on a Saturday, I'm working in TV production all week long, long hours, very demanding. I go to their house on a Saturday morning. I'm like, we just have to play. That's all
exactly.
We have to
absolutely.
Do right now. I have been told that this butterfly is the queen of the butterflies. Yep. And all I have to do is sit on the floor and be this queen butterfly right now for the next 45 minutes. Yeah. That's very relaxing.
It is. I totally agree. And being able to I have shared so many of my videos with the kids that I've nannied. Yeah, yeah. Like, whether they understand it or not, they're seeing like us on a little TV and they're like, that's cool.
they can be very fascinated with it for sure.
You're like a little celebrity to them.
I did have one of the kids that I nannied in Chicago. I had a tech rehearsal for a show one night, and I got ready for it at their house, and he was like 4 years old at the time. Obviously, like, I don't know, we're probably all different. Everybody has a different take on this. I didn't wear very much makeup nannying. I did not really do that very much, and very much presented myself to them differently than I was on stage. And so when I got ready for my show at their house, I came out of the bathroom like with a full face of makeup, and he was just staring at me like, what? And then his parents were like, what are you doing? And he just like is staring at them. And then he goes, what is that? He's like, what is that on your face? And I was explaining, and he goes, oh yeah, I like you without that stuff. Aww. Like, and it was like very heartwarming and sweet, but it was like, he was very much fascinated. Like, what do you do? Like, what is this?
I had a similar experience. I had to get ready for a show at a nanny family. And I don't wear very much makeup nannying, because For me, I'm like, why?
They're gonna spit on you.
Yeah. But if you are a nanny who does wear makeup, get it. Like, that's also wonderful. Exactly, but for me, for sure. I'm just like, I'm already rushing in the morning. So yeah. I'm not adding that to my day.
Right.
But anyway, and I came out of the bathroom and they were like, why do you look so weird? It was tiny. They were like, you look weird. I was like, well,
like better weird or
I was like, what does it mean? is funny. And I did quite a bit of children's theater as well. And so inviting kids to see you in a children's play.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cool. And that I got to do that too as well. I was in a version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And so around Christmas time, the nanny kids got to come see. And I was Mrs. Claus and had like this old wig. And we came out into the audience at one point, and I remember one of the kids was terrified of me. I came up to him like, no, it's me. Hello. And they were like, ah, no, get away from me.
I thought this was fun. Yeah. One of the shows I was in was through Compass Creative Dramatics, who has been on the show before. And it was so funny because I was in the show, the kids that my former nanny kids came to see it. And then they were in the show the next season because that's the way Compass does it. And so I had played one of the crocodiles in Peter Pan. And then the next season when they did it, one of my nanny kids was Captain Hook, which is just so lovely.
Fun. Oh, that's great.
And so we got to, you know, when I was with them, we got to like play around a little bit with, because the crocodile and Captain Hook have scenes together,
yeah, as sure. you
may guess. So we got to like act that out. It was really fun. Yep. Yeah. And I think that it's such a lovely example to kids, because a lot of the world tells us what Julie is experiencing, of what this nanny is experiencing, of like, you can't have both. And I think modeling for children that you can have a job that is fulfilling and pays bills, and that you can also have this life as an artist that may or may not pay all the bills, may or may not. I mean, either can be fulfilling or not, depending on your situation. But modeling that is really important, I think. Katie, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that they soak all of that up. They can see. I think it's great to show them all the different parts of your life and what you are, and you being a full person is huge. Some of them are like obsessed with that. They're like, oh, okay. And like, and then what else? And they're very interested. And it's great. Like you said, it's like showing them being a fully, you know, fleshed out person that can do like responsible things and creative things and like all that. It's yeah. And I think in addition to like setting a good example for the kids, it's great for us to be like, I would say in answer, her name is Julie, right? Mm-hmm. In answer to that, her question specifically, I would say, like, I think not only can you do both, it is good for you to do both, honestly. Like it will make you feel good to do both things, because it is hard. Like, I mean, everybody has talked about it. One of the hardest things about being in the arts is how do you support yourself, obviously. Right. And you have to, and we have to support ourselves financially. You can't get around that. And I spent a lot of time feeling, I think when I was younger, I felt really self-conscious about that and really like, why is my thing not my thing that I like to do, not just like my career already, like just my full-time thing already. And I felt like really self-conscious about that. But if you can flip that script, I think it's very fulfilling to be like, I can be creative. I'm taking care of myself. I'm supporting myself. I'm doing all of these things to like really to feed all those different sides of me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's something you can be proud of to do both at the same time, I think.
And I think they help each other. You know, as you get more in tune with your creative life, it helps you as a nanny. And I think that the skills that you learn, like my improv has helped me more than anything as a nanny, like learning to find the yes.
Yes.
Like I
listening huge, to your huge. Scene partner.
Yes. Like, and even with things like co-regulation with a nanny kid, like I know that I am better at that because of my work in improv, which is not my favorite thing to do. It was a stretch for me anyway. I love having the script. I love somebody else telling me what to say, but in life we don't get that. And so I really appreciated my lessons that I learned in improv and how they apply to nannying.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting that Julie mentioned this rebellious side of her and that not maybe aligning with being a nanny, because I think that that's also really important to not stifle that. I still do and did some burlesque performing when I was a nanny and still do it now. And it's not something that I'm like posting all the time about, you know, on social media and everything. And luckily, like the parents that I've been with, have worked for, have been super okay with all of that. But that's, you know, not completely appropriate for children right now, but it's something that is a part of me and I'm not going to stop doing it because it's something that I don't think aligns completely with nannying. So I think that that's really important to not get rid of those rebellious thoughts. Like if there's something that she wants to sing about it, you know, get it out there in the world. That is an outlet for you. You can't just always, they're not your children, you know, when you're nannying, like you can be respectful, but then also have another side of you. That's totally okay.
Yeah. And I think that if it's something that nannies are, who are listening are worried about, I think back to communication, like we say all the freaking time on this podcast, like that's so important of being like, you know, I wrote this song, it's out there. I wanted to give you a heads up. Like it's a little, like it's not appropriate for the kids to listen to or something like that. So that the family doesn't wander onto it.
Sure.
And like feel surprised by it, you know? But when you are off the clock, you are off the clock.
Absolutely.
And I also just want to say, like, you know, that's just all of life. There are things that are appropriate for children and inappropriate for children. And that's just all of life. And so like, I mean, I would assume that a lot of people's, the parents that you're working for watch television. Yeah. Well, they're not going to be watching only kid friendly things all the time. Right.
When the kids go to bed.
If we are writing or performing entertainment for people that's not age appropriate to their nannying kids. That's normal. That's totally just life. You know, there's things that they'll watch and things they won't. And I, you know, that's just true for creatives. Yeah. And that's true for I know parents. I've nannied for a lot of parents who are creatives too, who are in the arts themselves. You know, they're, you know, either, you know, writing or producing or whatever, acting in things that their kids can see or can't see. And that's just normal, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you hear all the time, like, you know, celebrities saying, well, I'm going to do this movie so that my kids can finally watch something.
Exactly.
Right. Done. Believe, you know, like The Rock was in Moana and his kid
right
believe it, but or it's like amazing. There's that video of like he's singing it to her and she's like, you sound like Maui or something. I can't remember the exact video, but there is a video of her like not putting it together.
Like, that she's like, that's a good impression, dad.
Yeah, something like that.
That's awesome.
Which is just so funny to me. But I completely agree. And I think that like anything, it's about boundaries and also finding like the appropriate times for it. Because Absolutely. Like Yeah, if you invited the children to a burlesque show,
that would be okay. I'm not going to be getting ready for that tech rehearsal at that house.
Right, that's not going to happen.
But if the parents want to find a babysitter and come later, you know.
Yeah, then that's okay. Yeah. And I also think that highlights the importance of that interview process and really finding a nanny family that aligns with your values.
Absolutely.
So that there isn't this tension later on, you know, if the nanny family is super conservative in how they see the world and you are super liberal in how you see the world, that it can be done, but it's going to be a harder road, especially as an artist and a nanny, I think then.
I was just going to say, you should tell about
what am I telling?
The last nanny family was like, this is your last nanny family.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes. Well, before I go into that, I want to just say, I have had both experiences. I have worked with families who are not super politically aligned the same way I am. And I've also worked with families who are like exactly aligned the way I am with me politically. And once that happened, like my most recent family that I've worked for, they, you know, we're so similar in how we see the world. And that has been such a breath of fresh air. Mm. You just feel very free and very like, you feel like, you know, everybody in this room is on the same page. We're like, we're teaching the kids how to see the world in the same way. It's great. You know, that's a really excellent feeling if you can find that.
And you can talk about things other than just the kids, because
sometimes
families where you don't align, that's all you talk about is what happened that day. And that's it.
So it makes it easier, I think, on us as nannies to be like, oh, I'm not like, you know, having to be, it's not even like about being super careful. It's just like, oh, I feel like I can be fully myself because that's what you want. Like some parents, like that's what they want. They want you to be fully yourself.
And you don't have to be as careful about what you say to the kids because you know that.
Because, you're imparting
values
that
they believe the same things. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Hi, hope you're enjoying this episode. Just wanted to pop on here and remind you to check out our Patreon community. If you go to patreon.com/chroniclesofnannia, you can gain access to bonus episodes that come out monthly, as well as ad-free episodes. You don't have me interrupting in the middle of an episode. And you can ask questions in the Patreon-only fan community. So this episode was created based off of a listener's question. And in that community, at any level of the Patreon, you can gain access to the community where you can ask your own questions and get help, personalized help for whatever is going on in your nanny life. So check it out. Again, that's patreon.com/chroniclesofnannia.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
I lost track. What were you
about
saying?
How the last nanny family said, this is your last.
Oh yeah. They're very supportive. They were extremely supportive of my career. I have not just one, but several of the families that I've worked for have definitely been very supportive of their nanny having a career in the arts, for sure. And And yes, so the mom that I worked with most recently, she's been like, she's kind of become like a friend, a mentor, like we're very close. And she definitely said several times over the course of like a year, she's like, well, I don't know. I think we're your last one and you're just going to take off now. And she's very like, it's going to go great.
True.
And,
like, yes.
And they were my last name. I do work full-time in television now, which is fantastic. And she's also somebody we used to say that we have very fertile intentions in the universe. Like you gotta watch out. Cause when in this household, when we say something that we want to put out into the world, it's going to happen. And so, yes. And she's like that type of person. And so she did, she was like, well, I think we're going to be the last ones and you're going to go into TV after the, and like, it's going to be great. And so it's some parents will be extremely supportive of it, you know? And yeah. Also, I have also before this family, I actually worked for two people who were, have veterans of the TV industry for like 20, 30 years. And like, and I was working with they had older kids. So they were like, you know, between like 12 and 15 and, that family is, you know, in the industry themselves. So they were also, there's a shorthand there where they are very familiar with what you're trying to do, you know?
Right. I would also say too, that along those lines, you know, when parents find a good nanny, they don't want to give that nanny up. So if you want to pursue something, if you need to leave a little early, they're going to help you. Yes, they're going to work around you as opposed to just getting rid of you and trying to find someone new. I mean, you mentioned earlier that this was a, you know, care.com success story. You've heard one, like it is hard to find a good nanny. So if you are a good nanny, Julie, and you want to like leave a little early for your gig, like they're going to let you.
Absolutely.
They're going to help work around it.
Absolutely.
They just do.
And because I think we have a tendency to fear that, like, oh no, like I can't like tell it. It's asking too much. I think we maybe fear like we're asking too much of them to, you know, to be supportive of like our schedule or our, you know, aspirations or whatever. And they will. And like you, I just always thinking about it, like you hold up your end of the bargain. If you're doing a great job with their kids, if you're showing up to their home and being a part of everything, they're going to,
I mean, you're getting there at what? Six thirty, you know, like you're there.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's okay. Like once a week, if you're, you know, or once, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It ends up being, if it's a good situation, it's very mutual where you're supporting each other.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I also think, you know, this can't start right away for a lot of nannies, but as you develop your artistic life, when you interview, bring that in to the interview. Yeah, say, absolutely. You know, I am, I'm in a band or I'm a budding artist and I am also a really wonderful nanny. And like, here's the ways that my art helps me be a great nanny. Like I can bring my guitar and we can have, you know, song 100%. Time. Like there's not
free music class.
Free music class. Like what parent is going to be like, no, like that's.
No, I mean, we have all definitely, am I correct in assuming we've all put on like shows with our nanny 100%. And kids or their parents when they come home from work? Like, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I will also say that it's lucrative to then turn your skill into classes. You know, I directed a theater camp for years or taught, like I helped develop preschool programming for Compass because that's the age that I really know how to work with. I know how to work with a lot of different ages, but they didn't have anyone in-house who had worked with preschoolers particularly. And so I was like, I can help you develop that program.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it's lucrative to then teach classes on the side, as well as nannying, you know?
I think it can spill out into other parts of life too. Catherine and I actually every year, we volunteer at this shelter with people that are experiencing homelessness, but they all have children. And every Tuesday, you know, we would go and play with them and it's fine to just like go and play. But then Catherine and I were like, what else can we do? Like to help them? Like, what else can they learn? Well, we know all about improv and film and TV. So we started to show up and do workshops with them where we would film them. And then they would get to, you know, hold a boom mic or hold the clapper or, you know, get to see themselves on TV. And it was a lot of their first time, like ever being in front of a camera or doing things like that. And it just like totally blew their worlds and minds. And now we get to do this like every year with them. I mean, it just like, and it's all volunteer, so it's not paid, but it's a whole nother way of getting to use those skills.
Yeah. Yeah. And for that population where a lot of their trauma comes from not being seen, what a gift to give them, like, absolutely. We're here to completely pay attention to you and your story.
Totally.
Like, that's wonderful work. And I agree. I think it can spill out into so many different areas of your life and fill that. Like, I think also keeping in mind that filling your creative cup doesn't have to only come from, I am on a stage with an audience getting paid. Although that is ideal. although that is the dream.
Doesn't happen very often.
And we welcome it and thank you very much.
Yes.
We're not going to turn it down, but like there are other ways, you know, like this podcast, like honestly, one of the reasons that I started this podcast was because I was finding it difficult to be in rehearsal 5 nights a week and Nanny and I had decided to go back to school and all this stuff. And so, that was one of the reasons that I started this because I was like, this way I get to interview folks. I get to be curious. I get to have a lot of the things that I really like about myself in a theatrical space without having to commit 5 nights a week.
And it's your own, definitely. You get to make your own schedule.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And so one thing that I wanted to bring up, because I hear it in the way that Julie's talking in that email, is that my supervisor in my therapy program brought this up to us, is that there are, there's this thing called the conscious competence ladder. And it was developed in the 1970s. And so we go through 4 phases when we're developing skills. The first is unconsciously unskilled. So we don't know that we don't have this skill and we, or that we need to learn it. So like that's kind of like, you don't know anything. And I think most of us are beyond that in nannying. If you have been a nanny for a while, you probably know the skills that you need to bump up. So then the next one is consciously unskilled. And this is like the most frustrating stage of anything. So we know that we don't have the skill. We know that we're like, I need to learn more in this area. I need to grow more in this area, but you're not there yet. Right. Ira Glass has a really lovely quote about this as well of like, you can see like how you want it to be, but you can't quite get there yet. And it feels frustrating.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so if you are in this area of either nanny or artistic life, it's a frustrating place to be. Sure. And then the next one is consciously skilled. So we know we have the skill and you're like, but you have to still be working at the skill. Like you're consciously putting an effort to become better at the skill. From the email, I would say this is probably where Julie is of like, I want to get better as both an artist and as a nanny. And I feel like I am having to divide my attention between both. And that feels frustrating. And then the last one is unconsciously skilled. So you don't have to put in that effort anymore, right? Like the skill is in your bones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, a lot of like, we're always going to want to be growing and learning as both artists and nannies, but a lot of us, like after 10 years as a nanny, I'm more in the unconsciously skilled area of nannying because it's like, I can go on autopilot and still be teaching the kids a lot.
Yes.
Not that I do, but I can go on autopilot, you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
And so I just wanted to mention that because for therapy, I'm in the consciously unskilled part right now. And it is so frustrating. And because I'm like, I know that I could, that I can do better than this, but I can't quite get there yet. And so just normalizing that that is a phase of learning a skill, I think is important.
It's very interesting. Yeah. And I
just think awareness of it is so great. That's key.
Totally. And the fact that, especially for Julie, that she is aware and wants to, and is taking the steps to do both and learn more. Right. I mean, in that sense, I feel like it's all about just like figuring out your schedule. Like that's all you need to do at that point is you've got both of those skills. You just need to figure out when and how they're going to work together. Cause they will, they will work together. Yes. You just have to, and without overdoing yourself and like burning yourself out.
Yep. But then it'll all come.
And you'll get into a rhythm, get into a groove of doing both and you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think keeping in mind that growth isn't linear, that, you know, like sometimes our artistic life is going to take a back seat and sometimes our nanny life is going to take a back seat. And that, yeah, like learning and growing, especially as a nanny, like there are seasons that I grow a lot. And then there are seasons that I'm like, okay, I need to work on what I've learned now for a while and just play with it. And I know the same is true in being an artist as well, of like, cool, I just got this new chord. I'm not going to learn. This is me trying to talk about music that I don't really know. But like, I just got this new song or whatever. And like, I haven't mastered it yet. And you have to keep practicing until you master it. And that time can feel frustrating. But a lot of work is happening in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in your experience too, with like going in school and all this stuff, like you've had to switch nanny families to work around your schedule. So like maybe there were times where you're just doing afternoon pickups and then until the parents get home, or you're just doing morning, you know, you find what works for you.
Definitely. Yeah.
You don't have to be the full time all the time.
Right.
Right. And that, I think that makes me think of something that was like briefly touched on earlier, just like the idea of being able to go back to nannying between gigs that you might have, or like, you know, I actually did that. I was working on set for a series. And then when that, because, you know, for those who don't know a lot about it, that when you were working on a TV show, you're usually like on a season of TV, usually it's going to be like a 4 month long project and then it's going to end. And there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of like, you know, looking for the next gig all the time. And I did go back to nannying after the show I was working on wrapped. And that is, I've always thought in my head, like, it's something that I can always do. You can do it part-time. You can do it full-time. You can do it. You can stop doing it for a while. You can go back to it. And I was able to go back to it. And that, I feel really grateful for that. And like, proud of that, that I have that as a career and as a skill that I can, you know, make part of my life as needed. And, I think that to have those things, like, you know, to have those things that you can do to support yourself financially, to make money, like I said, and like, you know, weave them in and out of your creative life and use and do both at the same time. To me, I've honestly never done only one of those two things. I've always done both at the same time. I don't know how to do it else. At some point in my life, I'm just going to be doing one thing and I'm like, I don't know.
But also the fact of the matter is we love it.
We really like it. And I like being busy and I like,
and when you find a family that you like, you don't, you know, you want to know what the kids are, but you can't just be out of their lives forever. It just doesn't happen.
Oh no. Oh my God. No, you're never out of their lives. Yeah. Yeah. I assume others are like me where you get Christmas cards from them and you send them Christmas cards or whatever, you know, and stay in touch and it's great. But yeah, so I just feel like that's something to be proud of and not to worry about. You can come back to it. You can, you know, and I think there's a lot of stigma for artists out there to be like, okay, so I was, you know, so I was on the show and now I'm like going to be nanny again. Now I'm back to the, like it sometimes is used as a bad word, like the day job of right. it all, you know?
But it's still just as hard work as anything else.
Right. Yes. Oh my, well, yeah. It's like it can be the hardest.
Work, yeah. But. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's reframing that. So it's not,
yeah,
you're a failure if you're going right. quote unquote back to nannying.
I had to reframe that for myself, and I basically changed it, the story, from, like you said, feeling like oh, I have failed and I'm going back to nanny, to being proud of the fact that I have these multiple areas that I can tap into, that multiple skill sets, and like these are all things that I do
to, like, support, to be yeah.
proud of it, yeah. you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think that the, like Leah was saying, the creativity of the schedule can really be freeing, yeah. that we don't, you know, that your nanny family isn't going to come to you and be like, hey, we've noticed that, like, in the evenings when you're not with us, you're doing these other things. Do you need us to change the schedule? That's not going to happen. But if right. you go to them and say, hey, like, my band, like, is going to go on tour, or, you know, I need Friday afternoons off for such and such a reason. How can we make this work? And sometimes that can be like, you have a busy season with your artistic life and you maybe bring on another nanny for a little while so that, you know, you're still there some of the days of the week, but then you're handing it off to, like, Katie and Leah, like, you're handing yeah. it off to another yeah. nanny. And ideally a nanny that you are friendly with, is perfect, but, you know, you can be more creative. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah. And that's on that point too. You know, when Katie started her full-time job and they were looking, her family was looking for somebody to help fill that in, she mm-hmm. thought of me immediately. And like, there was still an interview process, but it was like, are you available?
Yeah.
I already know.
She had my stamp of approval and they were like, great.
And go. That's like, you know, that's really nice too, is having that community of nannies, of families too, that need help. Like I said before, you're not going to get rid of those people if right. you need, you yeah. know, if yeah, you need them.
Sure. Yeah. And I will say, nannies, right now, there is a childcare shortage.
Really?
In yes, there is absolutely a childcare shortage going wow. on. I've had agents reach out to me and be like, do you know any nannies? I'm really struggling to find wow. nannies right now.
Interesting.
Does that have to do with the, I mean, that's just coming out of the pandemic and people like being, everybody working from home and not like having childcare, you know, like they did before?
It's that a lot of folks in the childcare industry have gotten burnt out and decided to go with a different direction completely. It's that a lot of childcare workers were affected really negatively by COVID. A lot of the childcare workers that I know, myself included, got COVID. So like, it's just hard, you know, like health has changed in that, because we were frontline workers, you know, yeah. like I never stopped going to work.
Right.
Even at the height.
I wonder if like having the parents home all the time affected things too.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It took the joy out of nannying for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Cause it's a different beast.
It's yeah, it is. It is.
Working yeah. with the parents working from home.
So yeah.
it's a culmination of a lot of things. But I mention it because we have a lot of power right now to decide where it goes from here. And so, instead of, you know, backing off and not speaking up for your own wants and needs in a situation, now is the time to absolutely bring up your wants and needs and use yeah. that I language, you know, you're not going to be like, you all never blah, 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 because that's not going that's not going to go over well. But, you know, within the, like you were saying, Leah, if a nanny family loves you, they're going to try to keep you, you know? Yeah. Yes. It's giving you Friday afternoons off is so much easier than finding a whole new nanny.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you're doing the hybrid where it is a couple different nannies, because maybe you're in a busy season as an artist, offer to help find the other nanny, because yeah. one, right. you're going to have to touch base with that person. So you want it to be someone already that you know you can get along with and work mm-hmm. with. And you also, when your kids are with another nanny, if their nannying style is completely different than yours, that's a lot more work for you. So being yeah. involved in that hiring process is a good move.
Yeah.
And it also is like goodwill from the family of being like, I know that I'm somewhat putting you in a bind. Here is how I'm helping solve.
Totally.
That.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like we touched on almost everything. Is there another no. area that you all were hoping we would get to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet?
I just wanted to say a personal win for me, like a great moment for me
yes.
on this topic was the night that I had a sketch show at Second City in Chicago. And that ran for 6 weeks. And I told my nannying parents at the time about it. And they were like, you know, really super excited about it. And then I was still friends with the family that I had worked with before that. So what happened was both of these couples, my previous nannying parents and then the ones I was working for at the time, both decided to come to my show. They met, the two couples met at my show, and it was like a date night for the four of them Aww. At my show.
Who was They're watching like, the kids?
And I was just about to tell that story, and I was like, where were the children at? I don't actually remember where they were. No, it was probably a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or something for both, in both cases, but that was like, just, I was so happy about it. And then they, you know, and then of course they were like talking about the show the next day and all that, and it was so cool to be like, they knew me as a whole person yeah. and yes. they came to see yeah. what I was doing at night. And they, and I loved having them in the audience. Cause it was like, you know, it doesn't have to be this thing where you're keeping that. Like, totally. I don't really understand. It's hard for me to understand when people are like, well, I don't tell them I do that. Like, oh no, I want them to know that I do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you want the audience and then, members.
yeah, and also like, we want to fill right. seats, come to our show. And yeah, so it was very, very fun to, and then I introduced them to each other Aww. That night. And that was, it was really, really cool to see. So that just makes you feel great as a nanny with the kids too, to be like, everybody's on the same page. This is what we all do. And like, it's just, yeah, yeah. It was a really, really fun moment for me.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had nanny parents come to my shows too. And it does make you feel like you get what I'm doing. Like you right. understand. And then, you know, the next day they're pitching you ideas. Like, wouldn't this be oh, fun? Yes. And you're like, all right, well, let's leave that to me. But thank
the
you.
Writing is up to me. Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that any opportunity that we have to show up as our full selves at work, and you know, we obviously keep it age appropriate for kids, like,
right.
but to be able to bring your full self to work and not have to hide part of who you are is really important.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And so I love that story. And it also, Katie, it also made me think of one more kind of tip. I think sometimes there's this like scarcity mindset that nannies can get into of like, I need to be the only person that my nanny family depends on because then they will always call me. And I encourage folks to challenge that in their brains because it really does take a village. And if you are trying to balance being an artist and a nanny, it behooves you to have more people that they can call so that you are not the only person on their babysitting list, on their, yeah. you know, and so bringing more folks and recommending friends that you trust, recommending nanny agencies if need be that you trust, things like that is an important step, I think, in being able to live your life as fully as you want.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, having that nanny squad that we had in Chicago, like I'm pretty sure we all babysat for each other's kids absolutely in the nighttime at one point or another, you know, sure, it was yeah like, oh, well, do you think they're available? Well, I'll call them for you. Like, you don't even have to reach out. I'll do it. No worries.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. The nanny that I had replaced for one of my Chicago families, she went into teaching and she was definitely like, she still lived in the same city and she was in the teaching field, but like missed the kids and everything. And we had a great relationship and she would like be like, oh, if you can't make that date night, like I'll do it, you know? Yeah. And so we had a great, that was really nice.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I don't think that that's what you were saying with that story, but it did trigger that in my brain of being it's important to help your nanny family add to their, who they call when they need a babysitter list. Cause that's hard for nanny families. Like they don't know a million nannies like we do.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
It's
going to be, it's going to be great, Julie. Don't worry, Julie. It's going to be great.
Yes. Write the songs, be in the band, baby.
Be in the band, do both things. It's going to be wonderful.
Yes. Try out the appropriate ones on your nanny kids. Sometimes I would do appropriate monologues in front of my nanny kids. And I was like, if I can capture their attention for this minute, then I'm going to be able to capture the casting people's attention.
100%.
Because their attention goes like that.
Yeah. And if she's into like, you know, punk or metal or something, like turn those lyrics or like take lyrics from kids' songs and do them in the style of, you know, it'll like expand their music taste, which is so important.
Yep. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And I do want to say that if you as a listener are like, well, I have a question like this, hey, send it in, because eventually I do make the episode about it. It takes me a while, but this was a really, really wonderful question that I don't think that I would have thought of by myself. So just like it takes a village to raise a kid, takes a village to make a podcast, please let me know your questions. And a great way to do that is by joining the Patreon community, because no matter which level you choose, you get to be part of the Facebook Nania community, where it's like very contained. You're not going to get some of the drama that happens on the nanny boards because it's really contained. And you'll get like good advice from like-minded nannies out there, as well as bonus episodes at certain levels. You get bonus episodes. We've got one about true crime and nannying, and we've got one about boundaries, where we read Set Boundaries, Find Peace, another nanny and I, and discussed that book on it. And we're going to have more bonus content too. Every month there's a new episode. So check out the Patreon, because you get a lot more content that way. And you can ask questions like this, and I will eventually make an episode about it. Awesome. So where can folks find you? Leah, let's start with you.
Well, personally, I'm all over all of the social medias, but I mentioned my sketch group, Pure and Weary, and we are on Instagram at Pure and Weary. We also have a YouTube page. We make TikTok videos as well. You can find us there. we don't have any live shows at the moment. Unfortunately, live theater is a little hard to come by these days, but we're hoping to get back out, but we do always have digital content, so you can check that out.
And it's so funny, y'all. Go check it out, because it will brighten your day. But it's also true. And Katie, where can folks find you?
I am on social media under my name, Katie L. Visser. And also I have a new-ish project. It's like a new old project. My co-host and co-producer and I started a variety hour that went super, super well, like a couple weeks before the pandemic happened. So of course we had a beautiful opening, sold out the show, wonderful, shut it down. And we are this week bringing that show back to the stage. Very excited about it. You can find that on Instagram at the nonfiction show, but there is a underscore after the, you know, how that of goes.
It'll be down in the show notes.
Yeah, right. So look for that. And if you're in LA, come to that show. We're going to do it every couple of months. It's a variety hour that the whole point of which is to expect all of the artists to be very vulnerable and be themselves on stage. So it's very
full self
entertaining. Full be your full self. Yes. Yeah. If any nannies in Los Angeles want to come and perform, that will be there's an opportunity to do that at the nonfiction show. So,
and it's masked and backed.
It is masked and backed. It's very important. We take that very seriously. So it's a, let's have a good, safe, happy time.
That's right. Get your booster.
Yes. Get your boosters. Also, I wanted to add, because that made me think of another aspect of this, is like, not only should we support each other as nannies, but we should support each other as artists as well. And so if, you know, a fellow nanny is doing artistic work, like go support them in their work.
Definitely. Because definitely,
like, that one strengthens your bond. It like strengthens your horizons artistically, and it just is a really lovely thing to do.
And then you get to post about it. Nanny night out.
Nanny night out. Which, yes, I have old posts from when we would go as a nanny squad and support different folks in our nanny squad. So, I just am so excited for the fullness of the nanny world. You know, like, nannies are doing it. And by it, I mean a lot of different things, and it's really cool and changing the world, both by work through their work with children, but also through our work as artists and creative beings. So
totally
keep going.
Do it.
Awesome. Okay. We end each episode with a cute, fun story. And I think both of y'all have brought one. Is that true?
Yep. Yeah. I got one ready to go.
She's got a lot. She remembers everything.
I have the burden of a really good memory. It's a problem.
I love it. All right, Katie, let's hear it.
Cause you said it was like something like inspiring or heartfelt or heartwarming or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the story I always think of in that category, one of my Los Angeles nannying children was playing when I was leaving. This was a while ago. This was pre-COVID, when I was doing a lot of shows and I would like be often leave nanny and go right to a show. I was particularly nervous about this one, and I had told her parents that I was nervous about it, and they were being very supportive. They were like, "You got this, whatever." And they told her as I was leaving the house, like, "Tell Katie she's got this." And like, everybody's like, you know, yelling and cheering. It was very exciting. And being a like 3 or 4 year old at the time, she was much more invested in the dollhouse that she was playing with on the living room floor than in what was going on. And she was playing, but her mom told her, "Give Katie some advice before she leaves the house. Like, what do you want to tell her? Like, tell her she's gonna be great." And she looked up at me and said, "We have everything we need." And I took it as a life mantra for the rest of time. "We have everything we need." And then realized that she was talking about the fact that she had gathered all the furniture she needed for the dollhouse. She's like, "We've got everything we need for this dollhouse. It's great." But of course, me going to that show was like, "We have everything we need. We can do it.
You got it. You're all set."
So, "We have everything we need, everyone.
We have everything we need." That's an excellent mantra.
Absolutely. I mean, from the mouths of babes. Okay.
Yes, right. So true. Yes.
Absolutely.
I love that. All right, Leah. Yeah.
Okay. So mine was actually, it wasn't one of my nanny kids, but it was another nanny kid who had come to see one of my shows, and it was a child appropriate show. And about, I want to say halfway through the show, this kid who must have been 2 at the time, a little girl, she walked up, she left her parents, walked up to the lip of the stage, stayed there, just staring at me right in my eyes for a good 5 minutes. Parents didn't come and collect her, and then continued to stay there. And I was like, "Are they gonna come get her, or do I keep making eye contact with her? Like, I'm in the middle of the show. What do I do?" Throughout the course of the time that she stood up there, which they just let her stay there the entire time, which I thought was great, she would look back at her parents and then take a step up, walking up to the stage. Kept looking. They never came to collect her, and she stayed there for the entirety of the show. And it was like I was performing to her solo. This is for you. She had the best
and
time.
She's gonna be an actor.
And then at the end of the show, she got to come up onto the stage finally, which was where she wanted to be.
Yes.
Took a look backstage, was just in awe. But this was also a kid who kind of had one of those deadpan faces, didn't really make a lot of facial expressions. It was amazing and inspiring to me. I was like, this is, yes, you do whatever you want, okay?
Yes.
One of my greatest moments in theater.
I love that. I love how she was also kind of like making her own game of Mother May I, of just like, just looking back.
They never came to collect her, which I also really loved. I was like, they knew that she wasn't going to go on stage.
Right.
But she pushed the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, she got as far as she could without technically getting up on stage.
Yeah.
And I also know you as an artist and know if she had wandered up on stage that you would have like worked it
scooped
in.
Scooped her right up.
Yeah. Like made the show better for it. So it was a win-win either way.
Either way.
Well, Leah and Katie, thank you so much for taking time to talk about this. This has been a blast.
Thank you. Thank you. So much fun.
So good.
And Julie, thanks for the question. I really appreciate it. And I am serious. If you have a question, please submit it. Email me chroniclesofnania@gmail.com because it inspires me to make different content than is in my own brain. So awesome. Thank you all for listening and we'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Tyler. Artwork by Noni Blastodon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudios.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.